Hey, what's up, everyone, and welcome back to Life with Style. I'm your host, Guy Vaught, and this is episode number 7. Well, today on the show, I have a really good friend of mine stopping by, the artist known as Grace. He's been up in California for the past year doing his thing, but now he's back in Hawaii, so we're going to sit down, talk shop, everything from graffiti, art, skating, lifestyle, music, and the list goes on. Super excited to have him on board. Welcome, Life with Style, episode number 7, hanging out with the artist known as Grace. Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome to the show. I got my man right here, Grace. Welcome to the show, bro.
How's it going, dude?
Super excited to have you. I know you've been up in California for the last year. How did the whole Cali thing go for you?
It was fun. I go back and forth to Cali all the time since I was like 19. Actually, that's a lie. Since I was 17, I've just been going back and forth. I love Cali, New York, San Francisco. This is good stuff.
Right on. Glad to have you back here in Hawaii. And obviously, you've been doing some insane. I'm just going to start with the whole graffiti thing. I'm a huge fan of all your work, and this last year you've been doing some huge pieces all over the country. And how did you get into the whole graffiti thing?
I've been into it since I was a kid, but actually painting on walls was in like high school. I started actually painting on walls and shit, and it was because of skateboarding. Actually, a lot of my friends that I skated with did graffiti, and that's just how we clicked. And so we just fell in love with it. I mean, even though it's like a legal thing, it honestly kept us out of trouble. Even though we're doing illegal activity, but the shit saved my life. So I don't think I'll ever quit. And I'm glad, you know, graffiti's dope. I feel bad for people who never actually did graffiti, you know, because it's a crazy outlet, you know. And you meet the craziest, most beautiful minds you'll ever meet. And yeah, I mean, so that's it.
That's awesome, man. Do you have, like, I know you've done a lot of pieces this last year. I gotta say, for me, just as a fan, I love your pieces that you did in Vegas were insane. Do you have any spots this last year where you were just like, damn, this piece is pretty sick?
Well, maybe not so much the piece that I did this day, but it was just fun times painting with my good friend Phlox. Actually, you guys should check his work out. He's a badass tattooer. On his Instagram handle is Phlox32G, so you should check him out. But me and him, like, when we go painting, it's always fun, you know. It's always like good memories and shit. And I mean, that's what it's more about for me anyway. It's just like painting with my homies and spending time with the homies, you know.
Speaking of Phlox, we got a little story we got to tell you guys. So I'm hanging out with Grace one day. We're here at our local Starbucks, kind of roll in, him and I get some coffee, and Phlox and him kind of got together and pulled one of the best pranks on me of all time. So the story goes, Grace and I go to get our drinks, come back out, and there's this guy sitting at the table, all tattooed up, pretty gnarly looking. I'm like, who's this guy? Grace is like, I don't know, man. I don't know who this is. So I don't know if you want to tell the rest of that story, but it was pretty rad.
Yeah, so me and Phlox already planned it out. So I told Phlox I was going to go up to him and kind of like punk him. And then, you know, have him punk Guy a little bit. So I went outside and went up to him. I was like, what's up, fool? Like, and then, you know, Phlox, he obviously looks kind of gnarly. And I was like, what's up? And like looked at Guy. I was like, what's up with you, homie? What's up? And then Guy looked scared, homie, like shook. And then Guy looked at me for like safe haven, and I'm like just standing there. But then me and Phlox start laughing, and I'm like, just kidding, this is my boy Phlox, this is Guy. And Guy was shook in his pants on me.
That is the truth. I did get a little shook, but Phlox ended up being super, super cool. So shout out to that cat. Mad respect. The dude has mad, mad talent. So once again, like Grace said, check him out on Instagram. Super, super good dude. So we doing the Cali thing, I know obviously you love skateboarding. You grew up skating. How did that whole thing come into play for you?
Dude, one of my best friends, Luke, we had class together and I didn't skate yet. All my friends skated, but I never skated. And Luke, he was older. I was like a freshman and he was a senior, but we had a Hawaiian studies class. Because in Hawaii, everyone has to take this Hawaiian studies for a credit you need to graduate. And he moved from the mainland, so he never had that credit. So he had to take that class with us. And so he was like, hey, man, do you skate? You do graffiti? I'm like, nah, I don't skate. He's like, well, you should, bro. Like, and I told him I don't have a skateboard. And he's like, well, come to this area after school and I'll give you a board. You should come skate. And that's how I started skating, was because my homie Luke, he actually passed away maybe like 6 years back. But he was the dopest dude. Man's name is Luke Sabalos. He was actually a rep for Stereo Skateboards out in Texas. But yeah, he got me into skating like heavy. And then from there, I just kept skating like my whole life, you know?
Right on. And then skating obviously led into touring. You got pretty heavily into the skate scene, big sponsorships. What were some of your favorite places you got to tour when you went out on skate tours?
One tour was dope. It was with the shoe company called Duff's. At the time, though, I was on Lakai. I was on Hurley and Lakai, Blue Hawaii Surf. But I went with my homie Dyson and my good friend Dave Huang. He was like the team manager for Duff's, and they're like, dude, just come with us. So I was like, cool. So we went, we drove from Long Beach to Texas, and it was just good memories. I saw a lot of crazy shit go down. The homie, fucking Adam Alfaro was killing it. Nuge was killing it. Dyson was killing it. David Gravett, fucking animal, was just crushing these gnarly handrails. And it was just a good time, like driving through the desert with these dudes and filming and shooting photos and shit. But that was probably one of my favorite, like, tours I ever went on, you know?
Right on. So you're doing skating, and I know you end up going to work for one of our favorite companies that obviously you've known since day one, Information. And how did that whole thing with Information come into play and meeting those guys?
Oh, I met them when I was young, like 15 years old when I was in high school. They opened up a store right across the street from my high school. And one of the owners at the time, Todd, he's like a DJ and super sick at like scratching. And so we seen that they had turntables in there. So me and my friend Ricky would always go in there and like bother them and be like, hey, is Todd working? Is Todd working? And like we'd always ask him, dude, can you scratch for us? Like, we want to hear you scratch. And so he'd always like scratch, and like he actually started teaching us like how to scratch and like mix records and stuff like that. And then one day he was like, hey, what are you guys doing today? And we're like, nothing much. We're about to go skate. He's like, well, I need someone to wash the shop. You guys want to work? And we're like, fuck yeah. And then from that day, we had a job and we worked every fucking day. All our friends would come by and hang out. And basically, they were like father figures to us because they were older, you know, and they took us in, put us on game, you know, taught us a lot about the industry and how shit works. And we got to meet a lot of cool people through everyone at Information. Back then, it was Ryan, Todd, June, and Randy. And we would always be with them all the time, you know. And I'm thankful, like, because of them, I learned so much shit, like, just even about life and shit and how to, like, carry myself as a human being, you know. Because when I was young, I was all into punk rock and, like, the whole skinhead thing. I'm a skinhead to this day. But back then, I was more punk and, like, I didn't give a fuck. But Todd them told me, hey, man, you got to fucking carry yourself different because, you know, in the future, you might offend someone now, and in the future they won't want to help you because they'll remember like, oh, I remember that kid, he was a fucking asshole or whatever. So that shit's always stuck with me. So now, ever since then, I've been like, the more friends I have, the further I'm going to go in this life. And that's all due to Todd and Ryan and everyone at Information, you know, whipping my ass into shape, you know?
Yeah, big props to the Information crew for sure. They do a lot of cool stuff for a lot of people. They support people when they're up and coming. They make dope clothing, and like I said, they're just really, really solid cats. So big shout out to the Information Boys, and if you're not following those guys on Instagram, do yourself a favor and get on that for sure. So what else do you see as far as Hawaii happening right now? I know you just kind of got back, but I know you're always kind of paying attention in the art and music scene. Is there anybody you're kind of like, wow, man, this artist or this band coming up is one to watch?
Well, as of artists in Hawaii, I would definitely say my boy Jim Hurdle. That motherfucker is a beast when it comes to producing and lyrics, like rapping and performing wise too. Like, that fool's a beast, like, well-rounded. He can make beats, he can rap, and he can perform live. So definitely Jim, one of my favorites out here. Also, the late ones, they're not really from here. They're from Gardena, but they lived here for a long time. Those motherfuckers are animals too. Definitely shout out to them. And also, what is that kid's name? Oh yeah, Thunderstorm, dude. That full voice of an angel right there. Him, his whole family, they're all talented, but definitely Thunderstorm, man. That full, my hat off to that guy, definitely.
Right on. So you have your own music as well. It blew up with your first video coming out about 2 years ago now, and I think it kind of blew us all away. I became an instant fan. A lot of people ask me how I met Grace. It was actually, I was working with the Late Ones at the time. I think him and I ran into each other. He had just opened his tattoo shop at the time, and he was like, hey man, come down. And so him and I just kind of hit it off instantly, and been friends ever since. Super, super get along. Always have. Grace gets along pretty much with anybody. He's just one of those cats, as you can tell. And super stoked we met. And so getting back to your music and stuff, you tell me, hey man, I do some hip hop stuff myself. And I was like, really, man? I go, I have no idea. So you're such a multi-dimensional artist, man. I mean, you do hip hop, you do graffiti, you skate, you do tattooing, and you're a kick-ass tattooer. You know, how are you able to diversify, let's say, as far as being able to do all this stuff? Did you always just have all this creativity in you, and any avenue you go down, you're lucky to be good at it?
I wouldn't say so much luck. I would just say I have a curse that's actually a blessing in disguise. I have fucking super bad ADHD, so my brain is always like thinking of a million things at once. So, and I say it's a blessing in disguise, because even though my attention's getting pulled in all different directions, it allows me to find passion in all these different things. You know, like a lot of people, they only have one thing, which sometimes I feel could benefit me if I just put all my energy into one of these things. At the same time, I don't feel like that's living to me. Like, I like to experience a lot of shit. Like, I like photography. I just recently, you know, started doing photography. I love it. I still do graffiti. I still tattoo. I skate here and there. I'm getting too old for that shit. But, I mean, it's just, like I said in the beginning, with Phlox, the whole painting thing, I like doing these things because it allows me to hang out with different types of friends that I have, because not all my friends shoot photos, not all my friends do graffiti, not all my friends are skinheads, not all my friends skate. But when I'm doing one of these things, I get to hang out with each of my friends that are into those things, you know. And that's like my favorite part about all of it, is just getting to hang out with all these different people all the time, and like seeing different views of life. And you know, it's just living, man. I like to live, you know. We're only here for a short time. Might as well experience as much as we can, you know.
It's so great that you said that, because I talked about that on a couple episodes earlier. All you guys know, I have severe ADHD and ADD, which I was born with. And it's great to hear Grace say the same thing. I never thought you should be put in a box. I'm exactly the same way. It's like, as a photographer, everybody always told me, oh, you can only shoot one thing, become great at one type of photography. And I was like, no, man, I want to be able to shoot surfing and skating as good as I can shoot a model or shoot a wedding or anything I'm shooting. I want to be able to attack it the same way. And I think people that have ADD and ADHD, they're super, super gifted. And like you said, it's a blessing and it's a curse. And our minds are going 1,000 miles an hour every single day. But once you learn how to kind of control it, and I would say as you get older, it becomes a little bit easier to manage. But definitely in your early 20s and 30s, it can still be bare. But what is your whole view on, I'm just going to throw this out there off the spot, is mental health and people with mental health issues or anything like that?
I mean, it all depends on their situation to me. Like, I feel like a lot of the most genius people I met suffer from anxiety and shit, man, because I think it's they figured it out. Like, they figured out a lot of things they've been lied to about in this world, you know? Like you were saying, like, people are telling you to only shoot one thing and that's the only way to do it. And I feel like, you know, a lot of these people, they're so like, well, we're concerned what society thinks, but then they figured it out. And so they got lost for a second until they found, you know, something that gave them grounding and like bearing to like be passionate about. And I feel like you kind of have to be a little crazy to be good at things, because it's more of a, what's the word I'm looking for? It's more of like a obsession. Like, it's like, to be great, you got to be obsessed. And being obsessive can kind of really fuck with your head. Because especially if you're into a bunch of things. So now you're not just obsessing over one thing. You're obsessing over a bunch of shit. And it can take a toll on you, you know? Like, I know every time I do an art show, I kind of go a little crazy, like, while I'm painting. And I think it's just the stress of wanting my shit to be dope, number one. Number two, stressing if people are even going to like it. Hey, how you doing? Number three, it's just like you realize, well, all this hard work I'm doing, it doesn't really mean shit unless someone buys it, because that's what society tells us. But then there's still this thing in you that you're not going to be happy unless you're doing it any fucking way. So a lot of people with these mental health issues, you know, who are great artists and shit, they're suffering, but no one really sees it because, you know, it's hidden, you know. And we have Instagram and Facebook, and, you know, we're posting these one things, but really deep down inside we feel a certain way. But I wouldn't really call it a mental health issues. I would just say it's the world we live in causes this unneeded stress on everyone, you know? Because I never really had anxiety until maybe like my late 20s. Like, that shit got super bad. Like, I couldn't go far from my house. I had this weird thing where I couldn't drive far because I thought, oh shit, what if I have a seizure while I'm driving and kill someone? And that thought stuck with me and fucked with me. But no one knows this kind of shit, you know? I think everyone has some mental issues, but it's just how you cope with it. And I feel like for me personally, doing art, skating, hanging out with my friends, you know, listening to good music, traveling, that all helps it and makes it worthwhile, you know?
That was very well said right there. And I'm kind of glad you brought that up, because for me, it's the same thing. I love poker. I love surfing. I love photography. And people look at me like I'm crazy. They're like, dude, why can't you just stick with one thing? Why can't you do this? Why can't you do that? And, you know, people are all different. And I know for me personally, if I didn't have those outlets, I'd go batshit crazy. Honestly, if I didn't have poker, if I didn't get into skimboarding when I was a kid, photography, art, whatever it is, heavy into music, going to shows, just being in the scene, having that energy and being around that energy. I think people that have, you know, ADD, ADHD need to be around people. I mean, for me, I know, honestly, I'm addicted to people. I love being around people. And I think it's amazing when you get to meet new people and just chop it up. And it's been more of a gift for sure. So anyways, I'm glad we got to touch on that subject, because it's definitely important as we move into the future. So if you're, you know, you got these disorders, you're a young kid listening to this show right now, maybe you're, you know, under the age of 20, and maybe you're older than 20 and you're like, you know, having these problems, just keep sticking with what you do. Don't let anybody tell you different, and don't let the noise drive you insane. Just do your thing, whatever it is, and be the best you can be at it. So it's been super rad having you on the show, man. Got pretty heavy and stuff. It's pretty rad. So I love this guy to death. We didn't get to talk about your music really quick, so we'll finish with that real quick, and also your tattooing. So we'll hit these two subjects right now. So we'll just get into how did tattooing come about. And I know you've been traveling, doing your tattooing for years, obviously here in Hawaii, all over the mainland. Welcome back home. I know you're at a new shop, so if you want to talk about that a little bit and give yourself a little free advertisement so people know where to find you these days.
Perfect. I got into tattooing because my good friend Vince, you know, he was like, oh, dude, your graffiti's dope. Like, I always wanted to do graffiti. He's like, I'll make you a deal. Teach me how to do graffiti. I'll teach you how to tattoo. And at the time, I didn't really care. I never wanted to be a tattooer. Like, I never saw that in my future. You know, it wasn't, I was getting tattoos by, like, my good friends, Billy and them over at 808. But it was never like, ooh, I want to do this. This is cool. You know, like, it was more my friend Vince kind of like, hey, just try it, dude. I think you'd be good at it. So I was like, okay, and I would tattoo my friends out of my house, and he would come over and kind of show me the right way to do things. And then eventually I got an actual apprenticeship at 808 for like 2 years I was there. It was pretty dope. I just want to thank Billy and Chris and Ronnie and Aaron and Megan, Jen, Kurt, Anthony, everyone who was there while I was there. You know, Brian was there. Just, you know, even though they gave me a hard time, which they're supposed to because I'm an apprentice, they really taught me a lot of stuff, and I'm really glad that was my upbringing, you know. But, yeah, I actually, you know, fell in love with it, and I moved to California, and then Phlox kind of took me under his wing, you know, and he was one of the guys, because I wanted to quit at one point, and he kind of pulled me aside and said, dude, you're not quitting. He's like, trust me, just fucking stick with it. Tattooing will open a lot of doors for you. You're an artist, like, just stick with it. And I'm so glad that's what he told me. Stuck with it, moved back to Hawaii, opened up my own shop. I had a shop called Good Life for 5 years. It was the first tattoo shop in my neighborhood ever, so I was stoked about that. You know, ended up running into some problems, so closed it, moved to Cali, tattooed at Paper Crane, All Hollows in Fullerton. I tattooed at Signal Hill, met a lot of great people there tattooing. You know, and even it goes back to like how I have all my friends from my other shit. I have a lot of friends now in the tattoo community, which I love to death. I get to meet a lot of interesting people that people I'm just tattooing, you know, that have actually became friends over the years too, which is cool. So I wouldn't trade it for the world. Like, I'm going to tattoo forever. I'm right now working at Rising Tide in Wahiawa. My Instagram is dropdead.grace, and it has my photography, my graffiti, and tattoos. And then I have a Strictly Tattoo page on Instagram, Tattoos by Grace. So if you ever want to check out my work or come get tattooed, just let me know.
There you go. And we'll just end the show talking about your music, maybe what's in the future for that, as well as you've been heavy into the photography thing now, like you said. So if we want to just talk about those two things, and we should be good to go, man.
Yeah. Well, the music thing for me is more like, I mean, yeah, it's cool if you blow up and you're traveling the world and making it off music. I just like to do it for fun, man. It's like a challenge, like, especially rapping. Like, you have to have something to say. That's how I feel. Any music, not even just rapping, any type of fucking genre, if you have something to say, the people will listen, you know? And I feel like a lot of times when musicians come out, they're trying to say shit that they think people want to hear. But to me, it's more like I'm just trying to get my actual story out there. I don't care who listens. It's just fun being in the studio, like, coming up with, like, metaphors and being able to tell my life story in that type of manner is just really fun to me. I have a lot of fun doing shows. one of my favorite shows that I got to do, thanks to Guy, was at House of Blues. And once you start doing shows, you start learning more things about, like, how good the monitors are going to sound, how good the mics are going to sound in each different venue. And I performed at a bunch of venues, but I got to say, by far, House of Blues, that was, like, that was epic for me, man. And, I mean, House of Blues is epic, you know, and I actually got to perform there. Also, when you hear a song on the radio, it's a crazy feeling. They played my song Black Chucks out here on one of the top radio stations in Hawaii, and hearing it while you're driving in a car, like, it just gives you this kind of high. It's like, whoa, that's sick. And to me, I don't even care if it goes past that. Those experiences alone, I'm so grateful for and thankful for. I do plan on still doing music, but I have a little haymaker right now that no one really knows about, but I'll tell everyone. So for the next, like, I think 3 years, I'm going to be in Hawaii for, we're putting on a movie. A lot of people, you know, a lot of people know me and a lot of my closest friends were all skinheads. And when I say the word skinhead, a lot of you might think, what, skinhead, that's racist and all this bullshit. No, skinhead movement started in the 60s and, you know, in London and England. And it's, it was more about, like, reggae and ska music and shit like that. You know, and towards the 80s, it got political and turned racist. But the main, like, traditional skinhead values was there's no racist. It's about unity, you know. And one of my best friends just died. His name's Nick Ramone. Rest in peace. So after that, I kind of got lost. And I was like, dude, I need to do something. Like, and I figured out, you know what? Let me fucking... I'm going to write a movie, and it's going to be about the skinhead scene in Hawaii, because a lot of people don't know about skinhead shit. They, like I said, people just think it's racist. So now I'm going to tell a story, not through music, but through an independent film me and my friend are working on. It's going to be about me and my friends and, you know, the older generation of skinheads from Hawaii, and my good friend Nick, who passed away, and, like, our brotherhood and shit, you know? So as for music, I might have to put it on the back burner for now while I'm making this movie, but... other than that, I'll still do it forever because I love making music, you know. But yeah, the movie's gonna be epic. So, you know, check back with Guy, and I'd say like a year and a half, but it's gonna be a pretty epic independent film.
Right on, man. Well, definitely when that thing comes out, we will definitely get you back on the show to help get the word out on that. That's super exciting news. You heard it here first on Life with Style. So we will definitely keep you updated with that. And I know you've got heavy into photography this last year and a half, 2 years. How's that been going for you?
Let me just say this first and foremost. Sometimes at night, I fucking get haunted because the fact that I almost didn't go into a store. Let me just tell you a story. I have a couple good friends that are super badass photographers. And they went into the store, and I was like, I'm not going to go in there. I'm going to just smoke a cigarette and wait for you guys. They're like, dude, just come in the store. I was like, fine. Go in the store, end up picking up this Minolta camera. It had the fucking sickest 50mm lens on it. I look through the eye hole, and I see, like, I focus the lens on my friend, and I'm like, holy fuck, this looks like I'm watching a movie. This is sick. My friend said, dude, that's a good camera. You should buy it. It's super cheap. Buy it. I'll show you how to use it. And ever since that day, that first roll I developed, I was hooked. And sometimes I think back, like, dude, what if I never went in that store? I would have never bought that camera. I would never have fucking taken photos. And I get scared. I'm like, holy fuck, thank God I went in there and grabbed that camera, you know? But for me, taking photos gives me the same energy as everything else I do, like graffiti, skating, making music. There's a certain feeling you get when you do these things. And I get the same feeling from each one. And that's why I think I love photography so much. Because you're just out there capturing, you're documenting fucking life around you, like, and you get to look back and have these memories, and even just, like, it's just from my point of view, I get to share with the world, like, things that I'm seeing, and it's cool. I like to share shit with people, and, like, I like to just capture these moments, dude. And photography will never go away for me, ever, ever, ever. I shoot film. Not because I'm one of those hipster fucking, like, oh, film's not dead and all this bullshit. I shoot film because it's more hands-on for me. Like, you got to get the film. Then there's all these different types of films. So some of the photos are going to come out way different because the film you used is different. And it just gives it a different feeling and emotion because of that. And I love having to put the film in the camera. I love having to wind the film when I'm done. I love having to go there and be like, okay, I hope these photos came out good, you know? Digital's fine too. Fuck, if I had a digital camera on me, I'd shoot with that too. I don't care, but there's just something about film that I just like more. And I think it's because of it's more hands-on, you know? And like, it's not as forgiving as digital. Like, you kind of have to know what you're doing. And I still have so much to learn, but that's the fun part to me. Like, I just love it. Like, and there's so much history involved. When I found out what the word photography meant, I was like, oh my God, that's amazing. You know, like writing with light, like that's fucking ill as shit. And there's just so much cool shit within photography and so many badass photographers that I look up to. And it's just a great thing to do. If you're listening to this and you thought of ever trying to do it, I advise you go pick up a camera and just fucking fuck around, digital or film, anything. Just shoot some photos. It's fucking sick, man.
Right on. Super, super glad to have you on the show, man. And thanks again for coming on. Really, really appreciate it. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. We hung out with Grace. And support this cat. Go out, get on his Instagram. And if you're in Hawaii, you need tattoo work, you know where to find him. If you need photos, just DM him. I'm sure he'll hook you up. And thanks once again, man. Really appreciate it.
Hell yeah. Anytime, guy. Anytime, brother.
All right, guys, we're out.
Oh, that's dope. When are you going to post that one?
All right. Well, there we are. Another show down. Super thankful for Grace for hopping on the show. Thanks once again. And make sure to check him out on IG. That is for sure. He's a super incredible artist and just overall really, really good dude. Wanted to apologize really quick. Had a little frog in the throat on this episode. As you can tell, the weather was getting to me a little bit, but we pulled it off. Had a fun episode as always, and we will continue to get you guys great interviews here in the fall, winter of 2018, heading into 2019. So thanks once again for the early support on Life with Style, and we can't thank you enough. And until next time, we'll talk to you soon.